How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Throwhook, please, everyone out. Profile This is played.
Shorcan Miles, it's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, my brother.
Hola. Hi, Gary, you understand how this year game is played?
Yes, I do. Can I say something real quick?
What is that?
I agree with, it was Thrill that said that tomorrow should be the revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I mean, look.
What you ate on the 5th.
I'm just saying, man. To me, if it's Revenge of the Sith, it should be Revenge of the 6th. Yes, that's my Star Wars nerd. I do not care. I stand by that. Well, and yes, I will die on that nerd hill.
And coming off of Cinco de Mayo as well. Like,
let Cinco de Mayo have its own thing.
We're going to have the Revenge of the 6th.
That's the Revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
It's like Montezuma's, but yeah.
Yes. All right, Gary, today you have your choice of one of three categories. Today we offer you the wonderful world of drugs. We have Bite Me, in other words, what did someone find in their food? And finally today, Animalize This, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem.
Okay, so if you know me well, we're going to go with Animalize This.
All right, we go to the fine state of North Carolina, where authorities are asking local residents to keep an eye out for a, quote, really big critter seen wandering loose in Durham County. Now, the Durham County Sheriff's Office said on a social media post that the, quote, new heavyweight champion was spotted in the Mason Road area, but animal services personnel were unable to locate it. The post says, quote, to put it lightly, he is a really big version of this animal. We're talking absolute unit status. He's currently living his best life on the lam, but we'd like to get him somewhere safe before he decides to move into someone's backyard permanent-like. And because it's North Carolina, permanent-like is an actual
quote. Is this a pet?
Could be. Okay. Now, the sheriff's office said that residents should report any sightings of it and not attempt to capture it themselves. The animal's owner is yet to be identified. Now, the post asked residents to help come up with the nickname for the county's new four-legged celebrity, because, again, that's how they roll in North Carolina, saying, quote, since he's clearly a local celebrity now, he needs a name fitting of his stature. Tiny feels a bit too ironic, and we know you can do better, unquote. Fine. So the question is, what is this abnormally large critter that they're looking for? Is it a pig? Is it a goat? Is it an emu? Or is it a cow? So pig, goat, emu, or cow. What is this unusually large animal that's roaming around North Carolina?
Well, I heard some probable euphemisms like on the lam, etc., but unusually large. Cows are large to start with, okay?
Well, I do know that. They're saying whatever this animal is, it is a bigger version
than the
average.
Let Gary drop knowledge. Okay. Cows are big.
I believe the term is let Gary cook.
Oh, thank you.
Gary is cooking. Good point, though, Gary.
Well, yeah. All right. I'm going to go with the pig.
You're going to go pig.
Those things, you can get little pot bellies and they can grow up to twice their size. I'm going to go with the pig.
I'm going to go with emu because they said do not approach.
What are you thinking, Mike?
It was a pig, it was an emu, it was a
goat or a cow.
Goat or a cow.
Cows, by the way, big.
The thing that got me was, how big did they say that he was?
They didn't say how big he was, they just said he is abnormally large.
There was a specific term that they used in there. What status was he at, you said?
I know what you're talking, hang on. Put it lightly, he is really big. We're talking absolute unit status.
Absolute unit status. So that's muscular, that's big. I think this is a goat.
Goat, all right.
Okay.
Okay, what is this animal on the loose and still on the loose, I'm assuming, in North Carolina? Is it a pig, goat, emu, or cow? We'll find out next.
Was a tease.
You are listening to the Men's Room.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Botchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Category is Animalize This on Profile This. We go to North Carolina. There's a big critter roaming around, and it's on the loose.
Big critter.
It has not been located, but they're saying this guy is huge. Apparently, he works out.
Yeah, whatever kind of animal it is a much larger version of this animal than others.
It's a jacked animal. Question is the animal on the loose that they still haven't found? A pig, goat, emu, or a cow?
And Gary, that is a question that we asked you. And I like that you pointed out that cows are big. And it turns out it was not a cow. So you were on to something. I should have let you cook. Because you were correct. It was not, in fact, a cow. So we start with Miles Montgomery. You went emu. Why'd you pick emu?
Just because I figured they'd be as big as an ostrich.
Right, right, right. Don't approach. I would not approach
emus
an
emu. Emus are nasty anyway.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. I would not.
But they're great socks.
They are great socks.
No, it's llama. I'm kidding.
Mike, you went with a goat because
yes,
of the what a big unit, big whatever the hell they said.
He was a big unit. Big unit.
And Gary, that pig. Leaves you. You said pig. You are correct, my man. Apparently,
they're rampant there in North Carolina. Trust
yes, they are. But that's 2 a.m. Gary, it's a different
year.
they believe it's owned by someone because it has been shaved. Right? It's not wild. Right. But they're like, that is a
shaved pig.
Hey, let me see that shaved pig.
Hey, baby, you know I got to get out of here for a minute. I got to go shave.
Oh, man, that's an absolute unit right there.
That is the hottest euphemism ever. Hey, let me see that shaved pig you got, girl.
Hey, yeah, what are you doing, man? Just shaving my pig, bro. What are you doing?
That's a shaved pig right there.
Hey, man, give me
I'm shaving my pig, brother. I'll call you back.
I got a date, man. Give me a half hour, man. I'll be over. I'll stop in pregame.
Oh,
now for all TV news all the time. Time for TV Time with Ian.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Wah-pah! Mike Hawk's turn.
What's happening, everybody? We finally close it out. The Ted Smith will be back tomorrow. Normal time, so for right now, y'all get me. And as we get started here, I got a little bit of news. In the world of entertainment. Y'all remember Blake Lively, the big news that she was in here not long ago.
Well, she was like in a lawsuit with someone that she starred with in a movie. I don't know what their deal was, but they've been going at each other for a year and a half, 10
pretty
years.
Pretty much. Okay. You summed it up pretty well there, Steve. So
following the
filming
Baldini?
Of the... Justin Baldoni.
Damn it!
Baldoni.
So close. Following the filming of the 2024 movie, It Ends With Us, there was allegations of sexual harassment, a subsequent smear campaign on the set of the film. Blake Lively's basically saying, this guy, he came after me, did all this bad stuff, ran a smear campaign. He ran a countersuit for defamation against her, blah, blah, blah. It blew up into a pretty big deal, right?
Right. And nobody knew what they were talking about until they made it a big deal.
Pretty much. Right. And the thing is that the assumption was from kind of the peanut gallery was like, it looks like you kind of caught feelings for a dude that wasn't your husband, and then all of a sudden people started noticing it. So, as of now, actors Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni have ended their high-profile legal fight. This happened on Monday. 2 weeks. I know. God.
I can go home now and just kick back on the couch.
You can relax.
I can just smoke a joint and go like, it's
now
over.
Now I can get back to politics.
2 weeks before what remained of the case was due in a federal courtroom. A joint statement by their lawyers announced the settlement. Let's see here. Lively's claims of sexual harassment on a film set. The end product, the movie It Ends With Us, is a source of pride to all of us who work to bring it to life.
Do you think the lawyers got together and said, hey, man, listen, I know we're both making a lot of money on this, but honest to God, do you give a rat's ass about what these two dumb bitches are going on about? No. I mean, does any of this matter?
No.
It's rich people.
It is.
That's
like,
what I mean.
There's a certain point. Like, it was like the Met Gala last night.
Jeez. Okay?
About to bring that up.
You look at that ridiculousness. Right. And you go like, in this time, in this day and age, where people are just trying to buy food, gas, get to work, get the kids where they want to go, these are not the problems that anyone gives a flying F about.
No.
Like, it's just... Look, if we're doing well, the country's cooking.
Sure.
Then we're all happy.
We want to celebrate with you.
Okay, man. Hey, good. Great movie.
This is a reminder
right.
that you are filthy rich. It was Sarah Paulson. Quick side note. It was whatever, the Met Gala, right? Apparently, she had some kind of protest thing. There's a dollar bill, and it was, you know, protesting money. I looked at my wife and I said, "You can't be at the Met Gala and then have a protest about something with Jeff Bezos. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You're there.
Yeah, there was
in
a whole
New
lot
York
of
City, city at this freaking thing. You spent money to dress like Halloween.
Well,
people like me,
you look like
I'm
you're in, you look like you're in a ball in Star Wars.
Right.
Like, it
no
does kind of look like
you
that.
Can't even eat. You can't sit down. You can't fart. You can't take a crap. Like, dude, if I'm that person and I have that, I'm like, I will politely decline, even if I was invited
this year.
Because,
for sure.
Look, I mean, I don't know.
No, I feel you.
There's more important things, right?
So you know what? There's more. Important.
No, Miles. There's not.
So
there's,
I'm glad they're done with this. I can
done
relax
with
now.
Yeah. What do they what do they say there? We acknowledge the process presented challenges and recognize concerns raised by Ms. Lively deserve to be heard. Blah da, blah da, blah.
Even
blah.
If she doesn't work or her husband doesn't, I think they're going to be okay.
They're going to be just fine.
But, she was at the Met Gala.
But guess what? They all dirtied themselves by dragging this thing through the mud.
You're darn right.
So
they
now
did.
Everyone just yeah, it's kind of just don't really think about it.
I did not know much about her. I knew her name. Right, I didn't know much about her, and I never paid attention to whatever the deal is because I do not care, and it seemed petty to me. But that said, at the end of this, I don't like either of them. I've never met them. I don't know anything about them. Right. I have never read a quote for them, but I'm like, I have to keep at least seeing the headlines about this, and this is some petty-ass BS. Shut up.
So let's stick with the Met Gala there. Somebody came up dressed up better, in my opinion, better than any of them all, because she always comes out dressed to the nines. Usually it's for the Halloween ball that they all go
Heidi
to.
Klum.
Heidi Klum.
Okay.
Absolutely friggin' nailed it again.
I cut her slack. Look, she's rich and all these blah, 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 but she is a cosplayer lover. I mean, she
crushes it. And Tim's got it up now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter. She likes to dress up. So with this, now I'm looking at the picture that Tim put up on YouTube. That's actually dressed down for her.
No kidding.
Right?
So she dressed up as a statue this time around.
Let's be relatable. Back to that. Your favorite, other than auctions, your favorite ball that you attended?
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah.
Favorite ball?
My left one. That's the one I visited most.
We're normal people.
Correct.
The fact that we're talking about ballrooms and balls and all this stuff, it accentuates people that we don't even...
We don't measure
it's not
up
even
to.
The same world.
We live on different planets.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's why I love what Heidi Klum does. That's why I'm bringing her up right now.
Well,
because
she's beautiful. She's beautiful. I don't care if she's
absolutely dropped it. Gorgeous.
But she always dresses up.
Correct.
The thing. And I go like, this is her thing.
She dated Seal and married him, or maybe she didn't, because she saw the outline of his penis in a hotel gym.
That's not a joke.
They happened to be staying in a hotel together. That's why I love her.
Right.
She's awesome.
I like that she actually...
At the same point in time, like, a ball... I can't even imagine getting an invitation to a ball.
No.
So this is not real world. This is not real to me.
But I love that she goes bees out on her costumes. Not normally for the Met Gala. This is like the first time that she went all out for the Met Gala. Usually she does like a Halloween thing, but this time she went all out for that. And I appreciate
that. She's almost like my daughter. She's a nerd who wants to dress up. And I go, look, that's
okay.
That is who
100%.
She is.
Because you're not wearing someone's stuff.
Correct. You're not trying to show us how fancy
all these,
you are.
All these
unless the
designers,
Statue of Liberty was her designer.
Back to paying for Blake Lively's dress. She showed up because a fashion designer paid for her whatever $100,000 ticket, right?
Exactly.
That's not my world.
No, not at all.
And I don't care.
Not at all. Let's switch gears over here. We frequently hear about the highest grossing actors of all time, but what about the highest grossing directors of all time? So I have a list here of the highest grossing directors of all time, and what I'm going to do, you guys can guess the directors if you'd like to, but what I really want to know, if you guys know, is what is their highest, their most successful film?
Okay, all right.
Okay?
That's fair.
Give me your guesses. Who are the highest grossing film directors of all time?
Honestly, James Cameron has got to be up there.
Number two on the list, James Cameron.
Spielberg's one.
He has grossed $10.6 billion. What is James Cameron's most successful film, Steve?
I'm going to say Titanic.
Avatar.
Miles, you nailed it.
Okay.
$2.9 billion for Avatar. Titanic probably would have been it, but because it came out in the 90s, that money doesn't transfer.
Right. You know, the thing with Avatar, if people like it, they like it. I did not particularly enjoy it, but to me, it's like, take the Smurfs, put them in Dances with Wolves, or Last of the Mohicans. There's your movie.
Fern Gully.
It wasn't innovative. It looked cool, but the movie itself, I just thought, I'm like, eh.
Miles, you nailed number one. It is Steven Spielberg at $10.7 billion that he's raked in. What is Steven Spielberg, of his vast library, what is Steven Spielberg's most successful film?
Based on time. No, because you got to go back to the 80s or the 90s.
Right.
So money-wise, it's got to be newer.
Okay.
To gross more.
What do you got?
Sure. I mean, back when we went to the movies, it was $4, dude.
I know.
Exactly.
Because okay. We're old.
So what do you think?
I'll say...
Raiders?
No. One of the newer Jurassic Park movies.
Oh, that's a good call, man.
They actually just go with Jurassic Park. $1 billion.
Oh, so it's the first one.
Right.
All right, I was wrong on the theory.
Billion. No, you were right, because that was the 90s. So I don't know if that counts the entire franchise. I don't believe that it does.
He only did the one, and then I think he may have lent his name to one of the later ones, but he didn't direct it.
Probably Schindler's List, but only because of the children's toys.
Man. McDonald's Happy Meal toys.
The tie-in with Schindler's List.
Why is everything on a bagel?
Oh, no. Oh, we're going to get fired.
Yep.
Anthony and Joe Russo come in at number three with $6.8 billion. Do you guys have any idea what Anthony and Joe Russo did?
I don't.
Very recent, huge franchise.
Very recent, huge friend. Does it appeal to me? Does it appeal to the younger demographic?
It appeals to you, but mostly the younger demographic.
I don't know.
At $2.8 billion, their most successful film was Avengers Endgame.
Oh! You know what's weird about that, right? When you talk about Star Wars, you bring up George Lucas, even though he hasn't been involved in a long time. Spielberg, you can attach his name. What's his face? Titanic guy, James Cameron. He will make it a point for you to know he did it. But it's weird. With all those Avengers movies and all the money they made, you never, nerds do, normal people, we do not know who the directors were.
Is it like the Coen brothers where they always work together?
They might be. To be honest with you, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Peter Jackson comes in at number four. $6.6 billion worth of...
Lord of the Rings.
Damn straight. Most successful film. Which of the Lord of the Rings movies was the most successful one?
I know the third one won a bunch of Oscars, but if like the first one...
Stick with what you know. It's the third one. Return of the King. Okay. $1.2 billion for Return of the King there.
They didn't know. They meant Elvis.
The man who...
That was about a C-ring, right?
That mouth! The man who loves explosions more than anybody else. Michael Bay. $6.5 million. Anybody have any idea?
$5 million or billion?
Sorry, $6.5 billion.
It's funny. He gets panned all the time. His movies are stupid. Maybe they are. I don't know. I don't care. But he's got $6.5 billion to be stupid. He did what? The Transformers and all that kind of
thing. Dark of the Moon was his best one. $1.1 billion for that one. Anybody know David Yates as a director? He's grossed $6.4 billion over his career.
What genre?
Fantasy. Big fantasy franchise came out in the 2000s. Wrong side of fantasy. You're thinking of fantasy adventure. This isn't fantasy adventure.
Is like Harry Potter?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That was the very last Harry Potter movie of the current of that iteration. $1.4 billion. He actually directed the last four of those movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He made bank then.
Your boy there, Steve. Christopher Nolan. $6 billion that he's grossed over his career. Your opinion, what is his most successful, and what is his most successful film? Because I know that you're an apologist, which you don't need to be. He's a great director. I love his work.
I would say his biggest are probably the Batman trilogies that he did.
Dark Knight Rises, $1.1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a good director.
Absolutely.
Right? I really believe that.
Is there any one other one that you hang on? Because I'm with you. I really, really, really liked the Dark Knight trilogy.
I had to watch Interstellar twice to truly appreciate it.
Okay.
The first time you say this isn't so good, and it's not. But when you watch it the second time, it's a lot better, and I like his point. Christ. Because he also did, what was the one with?
Inception?
I love Inception.
Okay.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Ridley Scott. Had a lot of movies over his career. $5 billion. His most successful
Alien?
Movie. His most successful movie just had its sequel released not terribly long ago, within the last month or so.
Ooh.
The Martian. $654 million on that one.
I didn't realize he did that.
No.
Okay.
The king of the gothic movie, the dark, twisted Tim Burton. $4.9 billion. Any guess on his top grossing film?
Is it Beetlejuice?
Alice in Wonderland.
Really?
I know.
That was a terrible movie.
$1 billion.
But they're all the same.
They really are.
You know, it's like you know what you're getting. It's the same.
You do.
It's going to look weird.
I would think it'd be Nightmare Before Christmas because that one keeps rolling.
It keeps going.
The merch that you keep coming. Maybe they're just going with like box office. That's got to
be box office.
J.J. Abrams comes in at $4.6 billion for his iteration of Star Wars The Force Awakens. $2.1 billion. The sequel to the sequels.
It was the sequel to the sequels.
It was the sequel to the sequels. We
not
found
to
that
be
out.
Confused with the prequels,
yeah,
yes.
Correct. And then they throw in number 11, Robert. I'm going to screw up his name. Robert Zemeckis.
Zemeckis, yeah.
$4.4 billion. He's the guy that directed Ryan Castle's favorite movie. $680 million.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. Nailed it. So there you go.
Today, we made a lot of money.
Film directors of all time. What are you going to watch tonight? You got game one of the NBA playoffs, conference semifinals between the Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers. You've got the NBA playoffs conference semifinals between the OKC Thunder, boo, and the LA Lakers. You got the first season finale of Funny AF with Kevin Hart. You've got the second season finale of NCIS Origins, and late on tonight, you got Jimmy Fallon with Justin Hartley and Maddie Kelly. You got Jimmy Kimmel with John Mulaney and Isa Gonzalez, Stephen Colbert with Barack Obama, and Seth Meyers with Meg Stalter and Caro Claire Burke.
You just want to drop the mic and walk off?
Headlines are coming off. You are listening to Men's Room.
Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A loose dog joins runner in a mini marathon in Minnesota. Not that kind of loose dog. Oops. Meanwhile, a Florida man goes to Chick-fil-A drive-thru to show workers his hog. A drunk Washington woman tries to run over a kid riding his bike. A bakery begs for the return of the mascot that they really did like. And a Canadian musician sues Google after AI claims he is a sex offender. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top story, we're going to Boston, where it's time to bring someone home. A local bakery has put out a plea to the public, asking for help in bringing home their beloved mascot, Swirly. Swirly is a large plastic ice cream cone that used to sit outside of the bakery that came up missing not long ago. Initially believed to have been blown away during the winter conditions, the owner of the bakery has reason to believe that somebody actually made off with the cone.
Wait, they thought that during the winter storms,
it blew off, yeah.
Okay.
They're asking simply for Swirly's safe return and have put out a statement, quote, to anybody who is temporarily sheltering him, thank you for protecting him this winter. Please return him safely, no questions asked, in exchange for baked goods and our eternal gratitude.
They are the baked goods as eternal as your gratitude. If you tell him, ooh, I can roll in there and get, right? Just like, look,
like,
man.
We still haven't got a follow through from the walrus penis that was stolen from that New Jersey bar.
Oh, that's right.
They still haven't found that.
No. But you know what they returned, what's her name, Cindy from the Sinclair gas station?
I do remember that.
They did return her, like, same day. But also, that's, you make a good point, Steve. Like, wait a minute, all I have to do to get good baked goods is just steal the ice cream cone from out front?
I would do it all the time.
You're going to give me good cookies? Right. That wouldn't be my best, you're going to give them the rejects.
Mm-hmm.
This one doesn't have any icing on it. This gingerbread man only has one leg.
That one has a rat tail.
That's right. Dude, we're going to start a business. Gingerbread
cast-offs.
Gingerbread men with rat tails. In other news, just down the road, we go to Cheney, Washington, where they're sticklers for children on two wheels. I read this story. I went, wait a minute, what?
Did you watch the video?
Yes. It's horrific. A woman was filmed by a local resident as she barreled down a neighborhood street and took issue with a young child riding their dirt bike on the sidewalk. Why? We don't know. But instead of merely stopping and voicing her concerns with the young individual, she instead veers toward the sidewalk, seemingly attempting to run over the child. What's more is instead of backing up and going about her way when she hits the curb, she doubles down, driving off-road and mounting the curb, barreling towards the kid, honking the entire time. She's terrifying this kid, who takes off on his bike. Police were called when the woman was arrested. She was determined to be under the influence of alcohol at the time of the incident. She's now going through the court processes. This is a deeper issue. I've not known anybody who is on alcohol enough to where they would run their car onto a sidewalk to run over a kid that's playing on his doggone dirt bike on there.
It's a child.
It is. Oh, I was out here with my dog and I was looking for dogs that he could go and having fun with. No, you're a bit of a sociopath. You need to be checked out and we need to do some mental stuff.
You need
stuff
to go to jail.
You. Yeah, we need to figure out what's going on here. Let's go to Florida, where simply working fast food has its hazards. A minor working at a local drive-thru called authorities after she got an eyeful while handing a customer his food. While handing off the bag, the young lady noticed the man in the driver's seat had his genitalia exposed with a, quote, bluish-green circular object on his unit, confirmed to be a sex toy.
Here's your nugget, sir.
He was eventually tracked down by authorities and arrested, though he denied intentionally exposing himself to the employee. So here's the thing. He admits to wearing the device, but he was just wearing it out. And you know what? I can understand that maybe my genitalia may have accidentally slipped out while I was getting my food at the Chick-fil-A.
I've seen one person where their genitalia accidentally slipped out, and I thought it was hilarious, and they did not know for a while. But this was in the early 80s when you wore the short shorts when you're a dude.
I'm scared.
He was just a well-hung brother on a bus, man. He did not know. And when you realized
it... Was it the twig or the berries?
It was the twig.
Oh, really?
The top of the twig. And, God, just real quick. All right, so the bus was crowded. This is honest to God true story. So his twig's hanging outside of his shorts. And back in the day, shorts were super, super tight and high. And the bus was super packed. And people are getting on there. So he is standing. Okay, so me and the guy sitting next to me, we both noticed this. And we're trying not to chuckle, whatever. This couple gets on, and they have to sit in opposite sides of the aisle from each other.
How much is peeking out here, dude?
I would say from the neck up.
Okay.
All right, so...
That's about what I thought.
He has no idea. He is very gracious. He allows this woman to sit down in the seat. And as people get on the bus at each stop, you know, people lean to let other people go by.
Yeah. He knew.
He did not know. We're sitting behind the woman who he allowed to sit down. So every time he kind of leaned forward, you know, inevitably part of your body presses against her cheek. We see the moment she realizes what is happening, okay? So she pops up. She doesn't make a scene, but she insists that he take the seat. He's trying to be a gentleman. No, ma'am. No, no, no. She's like, it's fine. So he finally sits down. Give you an idea of how long ago this was. He had an Errol's Video Club bag. Yeah. Anyway. He sits down. Now he's in front of us, and me and the guy, who's a complete stranger next to me, we're chuckling about all of this. We could tell the moment he realized, because we saw his shoulders kind of shoot up, and then he kind of adjusted his Errol's bag and was doing everything he could to tuck his junk
the army helmet back.
He'd been pressing up against this woman's face for probably four or five bus stops. No. It was awesome.
A fiddle player from Canada has taken on Google. The artist has filed a $1.5 million lawsuit against Google, alleging that they defamed him thanks to their AI-generated content. You know how you can type something in and it'll give you a little AI-generated overview, right? It came to the man's attention that the AI-generated summary of his life and career falsely claimed that he had been convicted of multiple criminal offenses, including sexual assault, internet luring involving a child with the intention of sexually assaulting said child, and assault causing bodily harm, also listing him on the National Sex Offender Registry, according to the lawsuit, none of which is true. His team is holding the company liable for injuries and losses arising from the AI overview's defective design. The musician claims that he learned of the inaccurate information when a show that he was set to perform at canceled his appearance after members of the public complained, citing the misinformation that they read on Google. Google hasn't weighed in on the situation other than to say that their systems frequently improve to show the most helpful information.
That is unbelievable.
They're not going to speak too much on that one. They're going to leave that alone. Men's Room Sports, as we talked, you've got playoff basketball on NBC and Peacock tonight, playoff hockey on ESPN, and baseball on TBS and True TV. The Mariners look to put the series against the Braves away tonight after a good win last night. First pitches at 6:40 over on Mariners TV. As far as your weather, should be clear to partly cloudy tonight with a low of 52. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with a high right around 67. There it is. That's it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawkins out.
Tomorrow, the return of Who Sucks Less on Miami Ted is back.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
As well, yeah. Lovely Jolene up in just seconds.
Yes, indeed. It is all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.